This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
I'm going to ask that they put on the marquee John chapter 12, and we're going to read from the 20th through the 26th verse. I want you all to look at it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it. Y'all pray for me in the New Living Translation. And it reads, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh, and he tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now I want you, that's the King James. You may be seated. I want to read that in the New Living Translation, and it's almost similar. It says, "Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, Sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Verse 23, Jesus replied, Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Final verse. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me." I want to talk just for a little while. Serving and following Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
We are compelled, if we are Christians, to serve and to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. This 12th chapter of John is very interesting in that our Lord begins to tell his disciples of his impending death and the fact that the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This chapter begins with Jesus some 6 days prior to the Passover in the town of Bethany. He was eating with his friends. I'm talking about Mary, I'm talking about Martha, and I'm talking about his friend Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And we find that if you go back and just read the first of that 12th chapter, you're going to find that Martha was serving food. And then you will find that Mary took some expensive ointment of spikenard, I believe is the way the Bible reads. And she began to wash Jesus' feet. In other words, she was anointing his feet with this oil. And not only that, she took her hair and she began to wipe off his feet with his hair. Judas Iscariot, that traitor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
I don't know if you are in
childbearing
age,
but don't
name your child
Judas.
Judas was trying to tell, I'm talking about this traitor, was trying to rebuke this lady, this Mary, for using this expensive ointment, making a big to-do about her using this ointment to wipe Jesus' feet. But Jesus tell him, as well as he told everybody else, leave her alone. Praise God. You just don't know what the thing that she has done for me. This is not in this 12th chapter, but it's in the book of Luke, I believe. What she have done for me in this particular setting, praise God, will be a memorial unto her. Praise God. And everywhere that this gospel is preached, she shall be mentioned. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus was trying to let Judas and any other Judas to know that you stay off of her. Praise God. Back off from her. And we find that after that, Jesus tells, we find that the chief priests had consulted how they would kill Jesus. And also, go back and read that 12. They didn't only want to kill Jesus, but they were even looking to see how they can kill Lazarus. Because after all, it was raising Lazarus from the dead that caused all of the excitement, praise God, that was going on in Jerusalem at the time. I'm talking about so much excitement that those church folk, they were losing folk, praise God. And so they were saying, we're going to have to stop this man called Jesus because he's stealing too many of our church members. Amen. That's, you go back and read it. That's what they were doing, praise God. But they couldn't deny the fact that whatever Jesus was doing, it was effective. Amen. Because they say, well, amen, we can't stop because look at how the world has gone after him. Praise God. Amen. So that brings us up to our text. There are three things I want us to take from this text today. And the very first thing I want us to take is that Jesus brings excitement to the hearts of people, regardless of their race, regardless of their creed, regardless of their background, and regardless of their color. Praise God, because if we look in verses 20 through 22, we'll find that there was certain Greeks among the people who came up to Jerusalem at the feast, and praise God, and they asked Philip, pray, sir, can we see Jesus? Amen. Let me ask that question to everybody in here today. How many of y'all, praise God, are excited, amen, to see Jesus? How many of y'all are excited to even know something about Jesus? How many of y'all are excited, praise God, when it comes time to come to church, praise God, so that we can learn about Jesus? But these Greeks said, can we see Jesus? And then we find that Philip, he goes and tells Andrew, and then he and Andrew go together, and then they tell Jesus. You see, that were two schools of thoughts about these Greeks, praise God. One school is that these Greeks may have been visiting Jerusalem for the Passover and had heard about Jesus. The second school is that these Greeks were nothing more than Gentiles who had converted to Judaism, and I believe they called them proselytes. But praise God, just the fact that the Bible used the word Greek lets us know that they were foreigners. In other words, they were non-Jews. And who would have thought, praise God, when Jesus was on earth, praise God, that foreigners from a distant land would come, amen, give me something to drink, and follow Jesus there in Jerusalem, inquiring of him, amen. I say that for a reason. Hold on 1 second. You see, who these Jews were, we don't know. What they meant, we don't know. Praise God. Why they desired to see Jesus, we don't know. Praise God. Were their motives good or bad? We don't know that. But praise God, we do know the fact that they wanted to see Jesus. Amen. They could have been like Zacchaeus. Amen. Y'all know that Zacchaeus, being a little short fella, decided one day when he heard that Jesus was coming by, he decided that he would climb up into a sycamore tree. Praise God. Just mostly out of idle curiosity. Just to see him, praise God. Or they may have been like the wise men, praise God, who knew that there was a Savior that was going to be coming. And they went out to find him so that they can see if, in fact, he was the promised Messiah. But praise God, enough for us to know, praise God, they showed more interest in Jesus than the chief priests, than the Pharisees and the scribes. I'm talking about those religious folks who should have been the ones knocking down the door to get to Jesus. Praise God. Enough that they drew from Jesus' lips sayings, praise God, which are still real in over 150 languages from one end of the world to another. But for whatever reason these Greeks came, their coming and their inquiring to see him was important to Jesus. You see, it was important to Jesus for two reasons. First of all, it was important because of who made the request. This request was made by non-Jews. You see, and we are to be reminded of what John writes in his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 11 through 12. Look what he writes. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? Sons of God, even to those who believed on his name. And of course, you know that very marquee scripture, John 3:16, saith, for God so loved the world. Praise God. Not that he just loved America. Not that he loved Japan. Not that he just loved Europe. But he God so loved the world. Praise God, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when these non-Jews, whether they were true Greeks from Greece, or whether they were Gentiles, they sought Jesus, praise God. And by them seeking Jesus, praise God, it sparked an interest in Jesus' life. And it signaled that the central aspect of his mission was on the verge of being accomplished. Praise God. You're going to have to modify some of the things of your flesh. You're going to have to modify some of those things that you do. Praise God. Somebody said, well, it ain't that bad. It ain't, that shouldn't be. That's no harm for me to go over here or to go over there. But praise God, what am I trying to say? There are some things, praise God, that we must, praise God, kill. We have to crucify it, praise God. Because let me tell you something. If those words that Jesus spoke in that 23rd and 24th verse, what he was trying to tell those Greeks, praise God, is that, man, if they thought to see a king like the king of this world, amen, that they were going to be greatly disappointed. You know why? He said, because the Lord would have them to know that he came to carry a cross, praise God, and not to wear an earthly crown. He came not to live a life of honor and ease and magnificence, but praise God, he came to die a shameful and dishonest death. Praise God. His king, the kingdom he came to set up, praise God, was to begin with a crucifixion and not with a coronation. Praise God. He wanted them to know, praise God, that the glory of his kingdom was to take its rise not from victories won by swords, nor from accumulated treasures, praise God, of gold and silver, but from the death of his king. He was trying to tell those Greeks that, amen. And these words were also meant for us because they revealed that Jesus' death, praise God, was to be the source of spiritual life to the entire world. You see, his death, like a grain of corn seed, was to be the root of blessings and mercies, praise God, to a countless million of immoral souls. His death, praise God, and not his life, not his miracles, not his teaching, praise God, but his death, praise God, was to bring forth fruit, praise God, to the praise of the God, to the praise of God, and to provide redemption for this lost world. You see, his word, the words of his own impending death, praise God, were followed by words that would be of deep concern for every last one of us in here. Look what he said. He said, he that loves his life shall lose it. In other words, in order to be saved, a person, praise God, must be ready to give up life if necessary. Praise God. They must be, praise God, they must bury his love for the world with his riches, honors, pleasures, and rewards, with a full belief that in so doing he will reap a better harvest both here and the hereafter. Praise God. But see, something on the contrary. He says a person who is ready to cast away everything most dear to him in this life. Praise God. How many of y'all got some things in this life that's dear to you? Praise God. How many of y'all got some things in this life, praise God, that's really dear to you? I don't see but a few people raising their hand, but I guarantee you, if I go around your house, praise God, I see a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of people hold on to a lot of stuff. They ain't used it in the last 10 years. And praise God that they hold on it saying, just in case. Amen. And see, there's a lot of people holding on to a lot of stuff just in case. Praise God. And what I'm trying to tell us, praise God, if it stands in the way of his soul, praise God, it must be, we must crucify this flesh, praise God, with its affections and lusts. Praise God. If that person does that, guess what? In the end, praise God, they will know that they will not be a loser. Amen. You see, it is true of Christians as is if it were for Christ. Praise God. You see, we must learn that there can be no life without death. We must learn that there can be no sweet without bitter. Praise God. We must know that there can be no crown, praise God, without a cross. I'm here to tell us today, praise God, we have to lay aside what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with all clouds of witnesses, let us lay aside, praise God, the weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Anybody in here got some of those weights and those sins that so easily beset us? You know what I mean by easily beset us, praise God. In other words, you don't take any conscience of yours knowing that you got Christ on the inside of you, praise God, that so easily beset you. But you go on and do that sin, praise God, because it feels good to you. Praise God, that easily beset us. And let us what? Run with patience the race that is set out before us, praise God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. What am I trying to tell us, my brothers and my sisters? Praise God. We're gonna have to put to death these things if we want to live this spiritual life. If we say that we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we say that we are going to serve Jesus Christ, there are some things that we must put down. Praise God. I'm going down to my third bullet here, and we're just about to get out of here. Praise God. The third one says that if we profess to serve Christ, we must follow him. Look what he says in verse 26. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Let me just stop right there. Praise God. You see, being a former military officer, that expression of followership is one, praise God, that has some wide significance, and some things that comes to my mind. It's just like a soldier following his general. It is just like a servant following his master. It is just like a scholar following his teacher. And it is just like a sheep who follows his shepherd. And just so we ought to follow Christ. If we say that we love him, if we say that we are going to serve him, praise God, and we ought to follow him. We have too many people in this entire world who say that they love God and that they're going to serve God, but they don't follow him. Praise God, because following Christ, it means something. Just in case you didn't know what it meant. You see, following Christ means that we should have faith in his word. To follow Christ means, praise God, that we must be obedient to his word. Following Christ means, praise God, that we must believe in his word. Fourth, following Christ means to strive to do what Christ commands us to do through his word. What am I trying to say? Everything that we do to follow Christ is right here in the instructions. Everybody ought to have an instruction book. Praise God. I was sharing with somebody just the other day at school. I said, do you know what the acronym Bible means? All it means is basic information before you leave earth. If you plan on getting from earth to glory, read the instructions. Praise God, if you're going to follow him, if you're going to serve him with gladness. Yes, there's going to be times when somebody laughs at you. There's going to be times when somebody ridicule you. There's going to be a time when somebody's going to pose some opposition to you. There's going to be a time when someone is going to persecute you. And often the only reward which Jesus' followers felt in this world, those are the things. But we must remember the appeal of the Apostle Paul, where he wrote to the church at Rome. Put this on the board, Romans chapter 2, verse 29, just to let you know. Praise God, our praise is not to men, but it's to God. If you are here trying to please man, I'm going to tell you, change your thought process, because you cannot please man. You might please him for this minute, but the next minute something else gonna come up. You might please him today, but tomorrow they won't be pleased. I've often said, if I stopped and give everybody a $100 bill, praise God, I give it to Deacon Sewell first, and I give it to Sister Howard last. She may start questioning, why didn't he give me mine first? Both of them got the same thing. What am I trying to tell you? You cannot please no man. So don't waste your time trying to please man. Do everything that you can do to please Almighty God. Oh, if you're gonna serve him, follow him. If you're gonna serve him, follow him. He died for your sins. He died for your sins. I tried to tell the young folk just a little earlier, don't you know that Lil' Kim and Lil' Bow Wow, they didn't do anything for you. Hallelujah. But Jesus walked up a hill called Calvary. Jesus, they put a crown of thorns on his head. But Jesus, they whipped him all night long. But Jesus, they pierced him in his side. But Jesus, they stretched him out wide. Praise God. But Jesus died. But not only that, they took him down off of that cross, put him in a borrowed grave. But Jesus, on that third day, I'm talking about early, one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. So leave Lil Bow Wow, so leave Lil Kim in their place, and praise God when you come through the house of God. When you come to the house of God, when you step on the premises, praise God, take the earbuds out, put the music off. If you're going to put some music on, praise God, make sure that you have tuned in to one of those good gospel stations that said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, would I be? If you want to have something to listen to, listen to what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God and pray. If you want to have something to put in your earbuds, you want to put in, praise God, that I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. I'm satisfied with Jesus alone. And when you're satisfied with Jesus alone, you don't need any whiskey. You don't need any wine. You don't need any dope. You don't need all of those things. You don't need 15 women hanging off of your arms.